inşallah bir büyük üstad, bir de ismi Barık Meclis, Ud, Elendri, Kamiye Aşaret, the great Vali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Arif Billah, Şeyh al-Arab wal-Ajam, Rumi ve Tabrizi Sani, Hz. Mevlana Şah Hakim Muhammed Akhtar Sal, Adam Allah'u Fuyuzum, Rahmetullah Ali. And the topic and the unwan of the subject is Ida Tushkar here, Ikhati Mujina. Mubarak tujhe ho e arz-e Madina, Mubarak tujhe ho e arz-e Madina, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ, مبارک تجھے ہو اے ارض مدینہ, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ, تیرے پاس جب سے ہی دے دو جہاں ہے, نہ کیوں رش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ, تیرے پاس جب سے دے دو جہاں ہے, نہ کیوں رش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ, تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے, فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ, تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے, فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ, مبارک تجھے ہو اے ارض مدینہ, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ, مبارک تجھے ہو اے ارض مدینہ, نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ, تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے, فدا تجھے پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ, تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے, فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ, تیرے پاس جب سے ہی دے دو جہاں ہے, نہ کیوں رش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ, تیرے پاس جب سے ہی دے دو جہاں ہے, نہ کیوں رش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ, احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ, احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ, تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے, فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ, تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے, فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ, نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی, صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ, نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی, صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ, تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے, تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے, فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ, تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے, فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ, وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر یہ تاریخ روشن شہر مدینہ وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر یہ تاریخ روشن شہر مدینہ تیرے پاس جب سے دے دو جہاں نہ کیوں راش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ تیرے پاس جب سیرے دو جہاں نہ کیوں راش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو اے عرب مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو اے عرب مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو کہ عرض مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على رسول الكريم اتم one of the قادس من بين this introduction. But really, as I sat down, I realized that there is no need for an introduction to Munasab. But for the benefit of the Tullab and those who don't know that Munasab is the principal of Darul Zakariya, Darul Mazar, alhamdulillah. And Allah Ta'ala has blessed us today that Allah Ta'ala has sent Munasab here so that we can benefit from his wisdom. And together with us, Munasab, mashallah, is the Khanqa. And he is the Khalifa for Sheikh Hakim Akhtar Sahib. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us again on repeating this. And really, we have no idea of the benefit that we have. If we are sitting here today, we are supposed to bring to Azal and sitting with Hazrat. But Azra, Allah Ta'ala sent Hazrat here. And Jazakallah khair for bringing to all the trouble, Hazrat. Allah give us khair, inshallah. Wa alayhi ta'ala, inshallah.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا بقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأطاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. وقال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله المولان العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, we will just briefly translate this beautiful poem. It was in Urdu, so many of us have not understood, but it is very important and very beneficial. So for the benefit of the brothers who did not understand, and even those who understand Urdu, but poetry is something else, it still has to be explained also. So though we don't have much time, but briefly, this is Fida tujbe e khake Medina, shehre Medina, that I sacrifice my life for you, for the sake of the city of Medina. Medina Munawwara, such a great city, the whole city and what it stands for, and this we can see the true lovers of Allah and the true lovers of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say we sacrifice our lives for the sake of the city of Medina. Mubarak tujhe ho e arz Medina, blessed are you, O the ground and the city of Medina. Nabi ka shahir hai, shahre Medina. This is the city of our Nabi. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the city of Medina. Tere paas jab sayyidi jo jahan hai, jab when you have in you the king of the true worlds, Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As in another form, Hazrat explains that Medina Sharif at this moment is more superior than Jannah, than paradise also. Why? Because at this moment, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Medina. And Jannah hasn't got Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this moment. So how blessed is not the city of Medina? Nakyu rashke aflaakho phir Medina. Then why within the city of Medina be envied by all the heavens also? Heavens are heavens, they are high up, they are great. But they also envy the city of Medina. So what a great city, and in the city is Sayyidul Kawnain, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tere sabz gumbat pe alam fida hai. The world have given their lives for your beautiful green dome. And we see this a reality, that whoever has gone, goes to Medina Sharif, sees the people of the world are gathering there. What a magnet, what love there is, that the people get attracted and come to Medina Sharif from all around. And at Rauza-e Mubarak, the line doesn't get finished of the people making salam. Continuously people are making salam there. So the world is envying Medina Sharif. Falak jaise chume zameen-e Medina. And it is as though the skies, the heavens are kissing the ground of Medina. In their great love of Medina, that here what a city, and who is buried here, who is in Medina Sharif, like the heavens are kissing the ground of Medina. Tera zarra zarra nishane nabi hai. O Medina, every atom of yours, every aota of yours is a sign of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see this so vividly. For example, the serenity, the coolness and calmness of Medina is not experienced anywhere in the world. Not even in Makkah Sharif. And we also see the hospitality of Medina. That also you won't experience anywhere in the world. These are all the signs of the presence of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his great effort for the deen. Fida tujhpe hai khaak shahre Medina. Fida tujhpe main khaak shahre Medina. O the city of Medina, I sacrifice my life for you. And that is the love that we should have. And this is also one part of the tasawwuf and islah and tazkiyah for which we are gathered here, to develop that love of Medina. Ask ourselves, have I got that love of Medina? And if a person who you love, what you love, you don't have to be told. By nature, you just think of your beloved all the time. In fact, you have to be told, don't think so much of your beloved now. concentrate on your other work. Ask ourselves if we even think of Medina Sharif today. If that love was there, that desire, that urge, and that feeling for Medina Sharif should have been in our hearts. But we lack that. And this is one of the efforts of this department of Tasawwuf, to develop and create that love of Makkah Sharif, of Medina Sharif, of Allah, of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, had ke ye daaman mein hone shaheeda, just out of Medina, the Mount of Uhud, and where the Battle of Uhud took place, and where 70 Sahaba in one day gave their lives for Allah Ta'ala. And people go and make ziyarat, go and visit the Shuhada of Uhud. And Sayyidu Shuhada, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It isn't a matter of just going to visit them and going to Uhud, but it is to take this lesson that how they sacrificed for Islam. 70 of the greatest Sahaba gave their lives in one day, all for the sake of Islam. And so we should take a lesson. Today, for us, we find it difficult to keep a beard according to Sunnah. We find it difficult to dress according to Sunnah. We should see they gave their lives for the deen. Today we find it difficult to make one gusht for the sake of deen. They gave their lives for the sake of deen. So how much shouldn't we should take this lesson when we go to Uhud. Nishani hai Islam ki azmato ki. This is a sign of the greatness of Islam. This is when we go to Medina Sharif, then the greatness of Islam should enter our heart. That this is like a person goes to a museum. He goes to some historical site, and there the guide will tell them that what and what happened here. It makes emotions come alive within us. We also have feelings after that. Medina Sharif, which is the city from where Islam spread in the four world. It is the city from where all the greatest of sacrifices were made in the world. So when we go there, if we prepared ourselves first properly, and then we go, we will know the honor of Medina Sharif. And then there are so many of us, we travel to so many parts of the world, whether it is for business, whether it is for deen, for everything. Ask ourselves, we are even going to visit Medina Sharif. If we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically we will want to go and visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, من زارني بعد وفاتي فكأنما زارني في حياتي. A person who will visit me after I've left this world is just like the person who visited me when I was alive. So when we go to Rauza Mubarak, it is exact, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hayatul Nabi, is alive in his qabr. It is exactly like we are visiting him in his lifetime. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من زارني فقد وجبت له الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. A person who will visit me, my intercession will become wajib for that person. Jannah becomes wajib for that person. So that the love should be there. Not as a duty that a person goes. A person, your mother is living, for example, in Ladysmith. She is living in Durban. You go special to visit her. Not as a duty, but as love for your mother. And you phone your mother also regularly. You ask her, Ma, how are you? You need anything? How that are we sending durood on our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How long do we go exclusively to go and make ziyarat and visit our Nabi? We are lacking in the love of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should have so much love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, until you don't love me more than you love your own self, your family, all the people in the world, till then your iman is not complete. There is so much of love we should have, but we are not even aware. We haven't got that knowledge also. And the reality of it, we are so far, and yet we are thinking that I'm a very good Muslim, and I'm sacrificing for Islam so much. This is such an important aspect that we have to have in our lives. Sahaba ki qadmo se khaake Medina. The signs of Medina which are alive are the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who used to walk around in Medina Sharif. When we are there, think at this place, Sahaba used to walk here. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to walk here and have the greatness of that, and what work they did, and how they were loyal to Islam, practiced on Islam, and how they spread Islam. Take that lesson and come from Medina Sharif. Wafadariyo par sahaba ki akhtar. The loyalties of the sahaba. How they were loyal to Islam. How they were loyal to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hai tariq roshan ye shahre Medina. The city of Medina is such a historical feat and such evidence of history of the sacrifices of the sahaba. That is the lesson that we should take. And then we should also become loyal to Islam. Our five times namaz regularly, reading of Quran Sharif, making zikr, etc., dressing like a Muslim, living like a Muslim, those are the lessons that we should take from the city of Medina and when we go and visit Medina Sharif. Also, by way of introduction, one more thing I would like to say is that we are very, very appreciative and thankful. We say Jazakumullah Khaira to Maulana Nazir Parak Sahib, Maulana Ismail Aku Sahib, the principal, and all the other friends, the Asatiza, administration of Darul Uloom and the students and the people of Newcastle and Northern Natal, that how you people have received us, how you have welcomed us, how you have hosted us, only Allah can reward you. Wherever we went, what warmth and happiness, and how eagerly everyone hosted us and made our khidmat. We say Jazakumullah Khaira. We haven't the means to reward you. Allah will reward you in this dunya also, in the akhirat as well. May Allah accept, inshallah. One third thing before we start our actual bayan, our Shaykh Arif Billah, the Rumi of the time, the Mujaddid of this era, Shaykh al-Ajab wal-Ajam, and the Tabriz, the second Tabriz of the world, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmahumullahu ta'ala rahmatan wasi'ah, should say that always make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before every bayan. And with regard to the sunnats, our Shaykh rahimahullah has said many poems also with regard to the importance, the necessity and the benefits of sunnah. One poem which Allah in His kindness has made famous in the whole world. That poem is Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hai jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. What does this mean? The footsteps of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that is following his sunnats in your life. This is the road to Jannah. Just like from Newcastle you want to go to Ladysmith, you follow the Ladysmith board, you'll come out in Ladysmith. You want to go to Dundee, you follow the Dundee board, you'll come out in Dundee. Whichever signboard you follow, you come out in. So whoever follows the signboard of sunnats in his life, you will see he comes out in Jannah. And the other great benefit is, anyone who follows sunnats, Allah se milate hai, a person will get connected with Allah. Sunnat ke raaste. Sunnats will make you get connected with Allah Ta'ala. So you'll get Jannah also, you'll get Allah Ta'ala also. But there is a great difference. Jannah you will get, but that is on credit. Then we'll have to live our whole life, life of the qabr, the day of qiyamah. Then insha'Allah, Allah will give us all the Muslims, Allah will give us Jannah. So it's a long wait. And Allah you will get now immediately. And the other thing is, Jannah is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah is the creator. And the creation can never compare with the creator. To understand this, a person has got a candle factory, for example. He's got a soap factory. He's got so many filling stations. He's got so many supermarkets. Blocks of flats, everything. One soap day, every day, 10,000 cakes of soap he's making in his factory. Now, all this rich man who got all this thing, what is the comparison of one cake of soap to this man? What is his investment? What is his bank balance? How many things he has got? And one cake of soap, it's got no comparison. Jannah is Jannah, sir aankho pe, but it's a creation of Allah. Where can it ever compare with Allah Ta'ala? If Allah wishes, Allah can create another 2200 Jannah. How beautiful Jannah is, Allah can make it 200 times more beautiful. But Allah is one. Laysa kamithlihi shay, He is unique. And Allah is wahdahu la sharik. Allah has got no partner whatsoever. He is only one. So Allah, you will get Jannah also, and you will get Allah. And you will get Allah, Keshna, all this by following Sunnahs. So may Allah give us tawfiq to understand the importance of Sunnahs in our lives. This is a very, very great thing. And as we will make amal on Sunnahs, we will see how Allah will bring the whole of deen into our lives, and together with the love of you. We won't do it as a duty. One person, for example, as a duty, is working for his boss. He goes certain time. Now he's late also. He has to be there 8 o'clock. He gets up 7:45, rushing everything, getting ready. And he's angry also that my boss will shout me, I have to go. And he goes also groggy, sleepy. He works the whole day there. But inside he's not so happy. It's a duty. And one is your own shop you go. You don't go there as a duty. With what fervor you go. With what happiness you go. You know, whatever there as a duty, whatever work you're doing, the boss gets the profits. Hey, he gives you your salary, a small amount, but how much money he's making. But when it's your own, what you are doing, but how much of happiness you're doing. So like that, one is we do our deen as a duty. And one is you do it with love. Hey, what a great difference. We know also, for example, when a person gets newly married, he is. Then there's a lot of love in that marriage. He's opening the door for his wife, and he's making her sit, and he's asking you, you're comfortable, you're happy, everything. Everything he does with love. He does everything so much for her. But when the marriage gets old, and that now sort of wears off, now he doesn't even open the door for her. Now he's hooting for her. And he's shouting her, why, when are you coming? How are you taking so long? What the difference between the two? And if you have your whole life or love for in your marriage, even when you're an old man, how you enjoy that marriage. And if it is as a duty, you'll still carry on. But there isn't that spark in that marriage. There isn't that love spark anymore. It's just as a duty. So the same with Allah Ta'ala. One is as a duty, and one is to do it with love. And by following sunnahs, wallah, Allah will bring that love of deen, the love of Allah Ta'ala. And then a person won't do anything as a duty, but he will do it out of love. Forget Fajr to be on time, Tahajjud will become easy for him. And he will be able to guard his gazes easily. Otherwise, some people feel in these times it's impossible to guard your gazes. But Allah will make it not only easy, Allah will make it enjoyable for you to guard your gazes. So may Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One sunnah I will mention now by way of example, and see how simple, easy, and what great benefits there are in sunnahs. One great sunnah is the use of the miswak. It comes in the hadith sharif, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ بِالسِّوَاكِ أَفْزَلُ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ صَلَاةً بِدُونَ سِوَاكِ. That the namaz for which you make miswak. Those of us who, when we made our wudu, asr time, now maghrib time, whenever, but we make miswak also. Then that namaz you rate with that wudu, but after having made miswak, that namaz is 70 times more superior than the namaz for which you did not make miswak. Maghrib, for example, we all make. One imam, same 3 rakat, same 3 rukus, same 6 sajdas, no difference. But those of us who make miswak, that 3 rakats are multiplied by 70. So they not only they make 210, afzalun, more better, and less afzal, only Allah knows how much better. And those who didn't make miswak, 3 rakats only. So which, if we are businessmen, and you can make such a profit, who will let go such a profit? And this is the real business of Akhirah. And this is the real profit. So great benefits there are. Then, it comes, Ibn Abidin Shami Rahmatullah Ali has written, Inna sunnat as-siwa, the sunnat of miswak, تذكر كلمة شهادة عند الموت. The sunnah of miswak, the blessedness of it is that a person when he will be dying, he will be reminded to read kalima shahada. Not only la ilaha illallah, but shahadat, under oath he will swear that there is no one else but Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his rasul, and in that way his mort will come. What a blessing, just by the barakat of a miswak. Such a small act, and how expensive is a miswak? So cheap, easily to get, easily to keep with you in your pocket, easy to use, no much time or anything. But see the returns, you can't imagine. For such a small investment, which is like null your investment, and the returns which are so great, like this are all the sunnahs. May Allah bless us with it. And then these are just one few benefits. There are up to 70 benefits, ulama have written, of making miswak. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on every sunnah. Grant us the knowledge of sunnah. Grant us the love of sunnah. Grant us the ability to practice upon sunnah and to propagate the sunnah to the people of the world. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. The ayats of the Quran Sharif I've read, the second ayat, which is in the 26th supara or 27th supara, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The purpose, the very purpose and object of creating man and jinn, Allah says, is only one, and that is to worship Allah, to make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So the very purpose of the creation of the whole world, everything that is done in the world, the sun rises every day, the sun sets every day, the coming of the rains, the blowing of the winds, the mountains which are keeping the earth on its place, the flowing of the water and the waves of the sea, all everything, all natural, great, great phenomena. Every morning the sun rising, every night the sun setting, etc. Then all the infrastructure of the world, the importation of rice, of cars, of computers, all Allah's system so that life can carry on. The burning of these lights, electricity, all these things is from Allah Ta'ala to facilitate man's life. Everything, الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. The whole of dunya, Allah says, we have created for you, O mankind. Everything is for us. وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. And you are created for the akhirah. All this is done for you, for one purpose, so that you can serve Allah. You make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. You understand one simple example of this. You give somebody 50 rand, 100 rand, wash my car for me. And you give him the soap also to wash, tire polish also, everything you give him. Wash my car and I'll give you 100 rand, you wash my car. Now he brings his own car. And he starts washing his car with your soap, with your what shampoo and what tire polish, everything you gave him, he's washing his own car. And when he's finished, he says, boss, give me 100 rand. You'd say, what's wrong with you? You're right in your head or something. So you paid him, you made all the arrangement to wash your car. But he's washing. Imagine, we are exactly the same. Allah has done everything to make his ibadah. Now we use everything of Allah, the eyes which Allah gave us, the brains which Allah gave us, the earth which Allah gave us, the house which Allah gave us, the car which Allah gave us, and we're doing it for our own pleasure. We don't use it for Allah Ta'ala. So, like, who will tolerate a person like that? That you give him everything, and then he's not washing your car, he's washing, nobody will tolerate him. So imagine how, from here, see, Allah Ta'ala is Haleem. And what does Haleem mean? That Allah Ta'ala tolerates in great, great amounts. How much isn't Allah tolerating us? How much we use everything of Allah, everything which Allah gave us, but we're using it not for Allah's ibadat, for ourselves. Yet Allah is feeding us, He's looking after us, He's giving us our homes and everything. This is Haleem, that He tolerates us so much. And the other ayat of the Quran Sharif that I have recited, Allah addresses the whole of mankind in it. Mostly in the Quran we will read, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. But in many cases also, though much less, Allah refers not only to the believing people, to mankind at large. Ya ayyuhannas. And this is the first command of doing something which has come in the Quran Sharif. From the beginning, Alif Lam Mim, in the first ruku, Allah Ta'ala in five ayats explains the qualities of the believers, how their qualities are. In two short ayats, the qualities of the non-believers, those who don't believe in Allah Ta'ala. Then in the next ruku, 13 ayats, Allah Ta'ala explains the conditions of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ. That they say we believe, but they don't believe, etc. 13 ayats. Why did Allah devote such a long ruku, 2 pages towards the munafiqeen, that we can be careful, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? Outwardly they will appear perfect like Muslims. They will make namaz with you. They will sit in your mashuras. They will talk with you. They will be with you. But in their heart they are not believers. And these are the dangerous people, the snake in the grass. The one who comes to you as your friend, but he's your enemy. If somebody is your enemy, you know he's your enemy, it's not so difficult to be on your guard. But the one who is like your friend, and is close to you, but actually he's your enemy, that person is very hard to protect yourself. So Allah wanted to warn us how dangerous these people are. And they were there in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They used to make namaz with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They used to make his khidmat also. Everything. But in their heart, they did not have iman. They were enemies. And Allah, the second reason why Allah has explained this so much in detail, that we must not become like munafiqs. We must be on our guard. After explaining, and till the day of Qiyamah, only these 3 groups of people can come in the world. The sincere believers, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ etc. The non-believers, the 2 distinct groups. And then various types of munafiqeen will come. In various forms, they will take different names at different times. Dangerous people. Snakes in the grass. They will be also, they say we're fighting the cause of Islam, but they're the enemies of Islam. And they are present today in our country, in the world. So we have to be very careful of these other groups also, in various names. So Allah has warned us. Anyway, Allah says, whoever you are, amongst the munafiqeen, the true believers, the non-believers, all of you, you can, Allah, that is the kindness and mercy of Allah. He doesn't close the door for anyone. He leaves the door open. All of you, ya ayyuhannas, all people, you only do one thing and you will become successful. U'budu rabbakum. Worship your Rabb. Hey, make ibadat of your Rabb and you will become successful. In other words, everything of yours will change, as we will explain the meaning of ibadat. Before we go on to that, one very interesting point, and this is the ijaz and the balaghat of the Quran Sharif, that in the command, Allah gave the reason for the command also. This we cannot do. If I ask somebody, go outside, I tell him, I give him a command. He look at my face, what must I go into outside? For what must I go outside? Give me a reason, what must I go and do? Go and get a key, go and give a message, something there must be. But Allah gave the command, U'budu Rabbakum, worship your Rabb. That's the command. In that, Allah gave the reason why you must worship also. Because Allah is your Rabb. Because He is the one who created you. He is the one who sustains you. In other words, like the boss who gives you a salary. If the boss, you got job description, this work I must do, and I will pay you so much, your salary is written there. Now that boss tells you do something, and you ask him, why must I do? What are you here for? You are here to job. This is your part of your job description. This is what you have to do. So Allah Ta'ala says, He is not giving us a salary. Allah is not our boss, He's our creator. We are not the creator of our worker. We didn't make the worker. We didn't give him eyes, we didn't give him a heart, we didn't give him a tongue. We gave him nothing, only we paying him a salary. And we expect that work from him. Allah is our creator who has done everything, who does everything, who will do everything for us. So it's only logical we must be obedient to Allah, inshallah. That we have to listen to Him when He is paying us our wage. not only a wage, he's doing everything for us. And then finally, your worker when he dies, is not going to come to you, return to you. Hey, when you die, you're going to return to Allah. So finally your return also is to Allah Ta'ala. So it's only logically also correct that a person must make Allah's ibadah. And in that sense, let us understand, we have no right to say, you can be the richest man, all the money you got, you can't use the money as you wish to. You got a wedding coming in your family, your daughter getting married, you can't have the wedding as you want to. That money is an amanat from Allah. And you have to use it according to that. You want to build a house, you want to go for a holiday, anything you want to do, you have to find out, will Allah be happy with me in this or not? I have to do it. It's given from Allah, and I have to use it, and Allah has created me, made me. I must please by Allah. For a woman, she can't say, it's my body, and I can do with my body as I want to. No, that body is an amanat, a trust from Allah. She has to use that body as Allah wants her. She has to cover her body as Allah wants her to cover her body. She has to use her body as Allah commands and wants to. So this is when Allah has done everything for her. He is your Rabb, then turn only to Him. So that is the one meaning that you turn to Allah Ta'ala. Ibadah, we all know the common meaning of ibadah. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, tilawat, all that. That is also meant here. That make Allah's ibadah. The other meaning of ibadah, which is extremely important, is the marifat of Allah. Allah said, make my ibadah. Allah means thereby gain my recognition. And this is our first farad, to recognize Allah Ta'ala. How many of us, each one of us, think for ourselves? We are people of different ages. Perhaps from 10, 12 age, till the age of 60, 70, perhaps 80 years also we are sitting. If for my life, have I made have I got directions of my life? Why am I living? For what am I living? Where am I going? A person sits in his motor car and he's got no place that he's going to, just driving around. You haven't, in your GPS, you haven't pressed your, typed in your destination. You're just driving. That's like a madman. He doesn't know what, like a ship on the sea that hasn't got directions. And the wind and the waves are just throwing that ship from this side to that side. Yeah. It's got no direction. Ask ourselves, why am I in this world? For what has Allah put me in this world? Till today, I'm today 50 years old, I'm 60 years old, but have I ever even thought of it, that why am I here? Why has Allah put me? Have I, in my GPS of my life, have I typed in a destination? Have I typed in and the object of my life? We can be making five times namaz. We became maulanas also and hafiz also. We are teaching also. But what is the object of my life? Hey, the first and foremost object is to gain the marifat of Allah. The recognition that He who has created me, find out who is He? What are His qualities? The 99 names of Allah, which came in one hadith. Allah has got many more names. Allah is not limited to 99 names. All those are directions to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the Khaliq, He is the Creator. Allah Ta'ala is Ghaffar, the Forgiver. Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, the one who gives rosy. All that is first and foremost we have to recognize Allah Ta'ala. And see how great Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is. If we see in any field, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look in yourself and you will see Allah Ta'ala. Allah. The greatest proof of the existence of Allah, of the Qudrat and the power of Allah, of the oneness of Allah, is you yourself, O insan. Who brought you into existence? If you think my mother and father met and by that I came into existence, then the father, if he made you the father, every father wants his child to be a millionaire. Every father wants his child to be a genius. Every child is not. If the father made him, he should make every child a millionaire. Make every child a genius. Every mother will want her child to be the most beautiful, the most handsome. Every child is not the most beautiful and the most handsome. And they should do it if they were to make. They did not make themselves. How can they make you? They also were created by Allah Ta'ala. They didn't make themselves also. If the father was the maker of the child and he made the eyes, ask him how much does he know of optometry. Even an optometrist, how can he make an eye? He'll make a glass eye for you at big expenses. And you can't see anything with that eye. The world will see the eye, but the eye can't see anything. Can a cardiologist, can he make a heart? All the cardiologist does, fix up a puncture. Like he takes a vein from your leg or somewhere and he puts it in the heart. It's a spare wheel that which Allah put in there. He just takes out the spare wheel from there and he fits it in here. And he charges you 400,000 rand, 300,000 rand just to fix up a puncture. But can he make a heart? He can't make a heart. Can somebody make the lungs? The quality of speech, that is the one. What a great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. The tongue of ours, hold your tongue. Can the tongue talk? Where is the voice coming from? What is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? It's not the tongue that is talking, it is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala that is talking. Can your mother give you speech? Can your mother, can your father give you speech? Allah alone is the maker of this human being. And every part, Allahu Akbar. Just imagine how many of us are sitting here. Allah has given every one of us brains. And with this brains, Allahu Akbar, it is only Allah who gave. I that am talking at this moment, in 1 minute, how many alphabets are not coming out from my mouth? How many words, how many sentences are not coming out? They're just not just flowing. The brain, what a computer Allah has made, it formulates those sentences. What I want to say after 5 minutes, now what I'm speaking now is to lead to that. The brain is working it out all the time. And then, at what speed am I speaking? And the brain is working out in advance. Now you must say this, now you must say this, now you must say that. You must pause here. When you are writing, put a full stop here. Put a comma here. Use a capital here. The spelling of the words, etc. The grammar, all that, the use of gender, the use of number, plural, singular, all that is working, you just writing. It's not just happening like that. It is the qudrat. See Allah Ta'ala. And then what I'm speaking, what is coming out here, it's not from my tongue, the words are, from where is it coming out? And it's going, airwaves are being made. And they, Allah Ta'ala made for us our ears. They are like exactly like a funnel. If you turn your head like this and you'll see it's a proper funnel. And that funnel, like it's got its big side, the top side, the funnel. If you want to pour something, it makes it. And at the bottom is a narrow like a pipe. So 360 degrees, whatever sounds are going around, the ear is catching all that sounds. And then from that funnel, it goes into the head now. Then there are the anvil and the other bones and they work like musical instruments. They learn from here. How to make the sounds, etc. And it conveys that what a chords to the brain. And the brain works out the meaning of those words. Are we thinking that I must work out this? Like for example, a person wants to translate a book, wants to translate a bayan. Then he has so many words, he gets stuck. What word must I use? The brain is translating and putting the meaning into our brains all the time. And we are understanding and it's happening almost instantly. Automatically, instantly it is happening. It is, see the qudrat of Allah. And this is all what is called the tasawwur. That the eyes of the heart get open. And this is happening all the time. But now we realize it's just not happening. It's not me doing it. Not the scientists who are doing it. Not the philosophers who are doing it. Not the professors who are doing it. It is wahdahu la sharika. That is what is called the tasawwur. That reality comes into us. Allah alone is the doer. You are driving on the road. And as you are driving, you see a board stop 200 meters. Stop 500 meters. We never think of this. The eyes saw that message. The eyes gave the message to the brain. The brain working out now. There's a stop coming 200 meters, 500 meters. According to that, what fantastic mathematical calculations the brain is doing all the time. It worked out now that you must put, and it gives a message to the leg. They put so much pressure on the brake so that you come to a comfortable stop there. And you also now become a bit more relaxed. You are coming to a stop. You are going to stand still. And this messages the brain gives is at 200 kilometers per second.
Allah.
Not 200 kilometers per hour, not per minute, 200 kilometers per second this brain is giving the message. Now you're coming to, the brain gave you the message to the leg directly. You don't even know. It's not just automatic you're putting pressure, not your knowledge, the brain worked it out, the brain which Allah made, and it's working out also by the command of Allah. Now you're putting your pressure, you are coming to a stop. Suddenly you see a ball coming across the road. Now your eyes give another message to the brain. The ball came across. The brain did not see, but the brain works out. Most probably there's a boy going to run behind the ball. Now it works out, recalculating again. Hey, it recalculates again and it gives a message to the legs, put more pressure. Give a sharp break or put more pressure. It gives a message to the hands, swerve your steering this side so that you can avoid that boy who comes on the ball. All this 24 hours it's happening. When we are sleeping, the brains are not sleeping. Your heart doesn't sleep. Your lungs don't sleep. You are sleeping, but the system is working. What is the Qudrat of Allah? And not one human being, 6-7 billion human beings in the world. And Allahu Akbar. Not only the human beings, animals also got brains. We say no brains because the brains are much more less in effect. But they also got brains. Animal also know when it's hot and cold, when it's hungry, it must eat, etc. Fish also, a small ant also, a small germ that we can't see with our eyes, it so has got life in it. What is the Qudrat of Allah? Who gave that small germ and ant also, who gave a big elephant also, everything what it needs. How great is not Allah Ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. And Allah Ta'ala is creating babies in the wombs of the mother. If we can make, if a scientist clone one baby, they'll make such a big noise in the world. Allah is making, according to present day statistics, 250,000 babies a day are born in the world. Allah is supplying 250,000 brains, 250,000 hearts, 500,000 eyes, 500,000 lips per day. And never did would-be parents see a notice, it came in news, that the angels who are making eyes are gone on strike. So would-be parents for the next 6 months must go gashle. That the children will not get any eyes now for 6 months. The factory is closed. All of that Allah is making in that small womb. Such a small factory of Allah Ta'ala. And not one factory, 250,000 factories every day are working. And in that Allah says, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah is continuously creating and making you in the wombs of your mothers. خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقِ. One stage to another. فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. In three layers of darkness. The darkness of the mother's body, the darkness of the womb, and the darkness of the embryonic sac. Yet the lights have to go off. The lights have got nothing to do with our talking and listening. But I will stop talking. Why? What's it? The lights gone. I can still carry on speaking. You can still listening. Our factories don't work if there's no power. Unless 250,000 factories every day are working in three layers of darkness. And then Allahu Akbar. When that baby, Allah Ta'ala makes that baby, at the beginning, no teeth in the mouth. When a baby is born, no teeth in the mouth. Because when the baby is coming, it has to suck on the mother. Very delicate part of the mother. If it's got teeth and bites the mother, what will happen to the mother? So Allah made the beginning no teeth. This is, and if you open your mouth, like this opening, you'll see it's exactly like a pavilion in a sports stadium. Your mouth is exactly like a pavilion in a sports stadium. And when the match is not on, so no spectators are there. The baby is just born, no match, no food to eat, no dastarkhan, no food, so no teeth also. And when the soft food will come, Mari biscuits, Gordia biscuits, the baby is eating. So now that milk teeth will come. And when the main match is going to come, now all the roast going to come, the biryani going to come, the chicken going to come, then the actual teeth come.
How Allah made it. If these were, if the mother made the baby, the father made the baby, we'll use our head. And what we'll say, when the baby is 1 year old, the tooth must be 1 millimeter. And every year 1 millimeter it must grow. So when it's 10 years old, the tooth will be 1 centimeter. When it's 20 years old, 2 centimeters. And round about 20, 25, boys, girls start getting married, look for partners. Parents say they must get married. Now the boy's bottom tooth should be 2.5 centimeters, 1 inch, and the top tooth 1 inch. And now you wear sunnat also, before you get married, have a look at the girl. Now with this big teeth like a bulldozer, and you go and see the girl, and at that time you smile also of her. The girl will exit from the Hazrat Hall, that, oh, my father is getting me married to a bulldozer. And no problem, her teeth will be also like the same. You'll exit from this door, that I must get married to this bulldozer, to this big ganda machines that are working on the road. My father is getting me married to who? Who is it that brings the teeth to one level and then, oh, 80 years old, still the same size? Otherwise, according to our working, when you are 80 years old, you have the tooth 8 centimeters, the bottom and the top. Now you are grandfather and you love your grandchildren more than you love your own children. And when they come, that, oh, beta, come here. And when they say, oh, grandma, grandpa got so big, they bite it, you will beat me up. The children should run from you. Whose qudrat is this? So can't we see Allah Ta'ala? To zahir hai, aur laak parde mein hai tu. Oh Allah, you are open and manifest. This is what is called the soul. Stay with the Ahlullah. Stay in their company and they will open the eyes of your heart and then you will see Allah everywhere. Though Allah is hidden, He's in ghaib. You can't see Him with the eyes of your head, but you will see Him everywhere. To zahir hai, aur laak parde mein hai, to baatin hai, aur sakht izhaar. You are hidden, but I can see you everywhere. In everything you will see Allah Ta'ala. You, Allahu Akbar. When you see what is this animal with stripes?
Zebra.
When you see a zebra, you will see Allah's Qudr. Today, man thinks they have progressed so much. Now, in our time only, barcodes have come out. ID barcodes, passport barcodes, all goods in your shop barcode. And you just pass it over, or your torch, you shine on it, and then it registers everything. All this, Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ الْعِبَرِ. You have got great, great lessons in the animal kingdom. When a baby zebra is born, the stripes on the zebra are not just stripes, we just take it as stripes, barcodes which Allah put on. When the baby zebra is born, the mother zebra blocks its vision from all sides and blows in the nose of the baby zebra. Then all the zebras, not of South Africa, Kruger National Park, all the zebras of the world, that baby zebra knows, this is my mother. Barcode. This is the Qudrat of Allah. When a crocodile has got 103 teeth and it eats meat, that's the diet of a crocodile. And when we eat meat also, we eat oranges, it gets stuck in our teeth. First we try with our tongue to take out those things from our, because it's irritating. So we try. We can't, we take a toothpick, we take it out. Crocodile's tongue is so heavy and big, where is going to use the tongue to take out that from there? And where crocodile going to get a toothpick? But Allah made the intizam for a crocodile. Wherever there are crocodiles, in that vicinity, Allah made it, there's a bird that lives there. And it builds its nest, its life is there. When the crocodile has eaten, it comes on the bank and opens its mouth. That bird flies into the mouth, knows my rosy is there. If Allah has sent my rosy in that mouth there. It goes, it picks all the pieces of meat. Allah made that bird's rosy, this meat. And now when it has eaten, the irritation is gone. Automatically, the crocodile closes its mouth. And the bird is inside. But for this bird, Allah made a thorn on its head. And then your palate is very delicate. Every person's palate. So when the thorn hits the palate, immediately the crocodile opens its mouth. So the bird knows the game is over. Now it's time to exit now. The food is, the time is over. Everything, dessert has been served. tea has been served, now it is فَإِذَا تُعِنْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُ. You have eaten, now go, you have to leave now. Then the bird flies out. Who's Qudra? Who taught the animals?
Allah Akbar.
A cow, what does it do? Eating grass whole day. And its mouth doesn't stop work. At night when it's sleeping also, mouth is working all the time. Jukali, it's eating, chewing. What it's eating? Grass. And from that grass, what's it developing? Making?
Milk.
And that milk, min bayne farthiyu wa dami, in the middle, labanan khalisan sa'ighal lishari. One side, napak, impure blood. One side, the filth, the stool and the excreta. Napa, dirty, filthy, and in between, pure milk. And sa'ighal lishari'in, which man, the drinkers of it, they look forward to. And they enjoy that drink. And milk is such that you know, Allahumma barik li fi wa zidni me. They increase me, because milk is a complete meal. Zamzam is a complete meal. Milk is a complete meal that Allah increase me. That you don't ask for qanaate, that Allah gives you more. And also, in alame amthal, in examples of comparison, Allah has made milk the comparison to knowledge. For knowledge also you say, Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, increase me in my knowledge all the time. So who is the creator? Allahu Akbar. The universities, did that cow go to any technicon? Any college, university to learn how to make milk? No, the university people go to the cow to learn how the cow is making milk. And then they write it up and we say, oh, big professor, that he has told us how the cow. Allah has made that cow without going any university. And we say, without a matric, I can't get my rosy. You must have matric to get rosy. You must have a university degree. The cow, which university degree it's got? Which matric the cow got? And it's getting its rosy and it's giving us rosy. It's eating itself. And another great lesson. Many of us say, I never had an opportunity in my life. If I should also have opportunity, I should also become this. I should learn from the cow what opportunity the cow got. But see what it's producing. How lot of milk and what they drink milk is. Enjoy your ice cream. Enjoy your milkshake. Enjoy your Milo. Enjoy your Ovaltine. Actually, it's all milk. Most of our cereals are just gimmicks. Especially Rice Krispies and all the supposed to all gimmick. The main thing is that you add the milk is the main thing. And those who can get pure milk, not all this milk, where everything is taken out and few chemicals added. But the actual milk, fortunate. So this is the Qudrat, the Marifat of Allah. So Allah says, O'budu Rabbakum. Imagine now a person who made more effort and he's got more Marifat of Allah. Allahu Akbar. It can't come to an end. We can carry on forever. Just imagine, you get a plate of biryani. Biryani, maybe how much you pay for it? 50 rand, 70 rand, 100, whatever it might be. But if you think that plate, for example, who it was made? It was made in Indonesia. It was made in China. Wherever that plate was, how many machines were used? How many factories were required? How many people working? Then you got your plate. And then they study much more detail for the transport of it, the ships, the cranes, the computer, the paperwork, the trucks that were used, the roads that had to... Allahu Akbar. For one plate, whatever price you pay, you can never... All these people work to make it. Then in that plate of rice, you got basmati rice from Pakistan, for example. All that, think of the details where it was grown, if the land had to be plowed, the tractor, the people working, they had to pick the rice, put it into sacks, the people who make the sack, it had to be put on trucks, the people who make trucks, etc. For the trucks, there is petrol, there is diesel, there is oil, there is plastic, there is iron, there is steel, there is ore. How many drawing rooms to draw all the various parts? How many parts in one engine? All that for the truck. For the tractor, etc., for the roads to be built, for the docks and the operation of the docks, for it to be transported in the ships, the making, the maintenance of the ship. It came to your country, from there again trucks to the warehouses, to the supermarkets. You and then pay 10 rand for a kilo of rice. Billion rands can't pay for one grain of rice. And then biryani is not only rice. There is mutton also. Mutton came from the Karoo, for example. All the farmers who worked and they brought up those animals, reared them, etc. All those details. Then you got potatoes, the whole potato farm again.
Then you got some peas also in there. Then you got some carrots, the carrot farm, the peas farm. Then you got spices from Zanzibar, Malawi. All that again, there's details. You used water, you used electricity, you used gas for one plate. When the Indian Muslims just came to South Africa, more about 150 years ago, most of them were hawkers. They used to hawk. And in the Joburg area, on a Wednesday was a public holiday in those days. And they should come back to Johannesburg to buy their supplies again for a whole week. Then they should go to the farms and do their hawking, go and sell. So on that Wednesday when they used to come, Diagonal Street, which is still there in Joburg, where the stock exchange is just around there, there was a restaurant which is there till today, Bismillah restaurant. And this owner of it, on a Wednesday, used to cook biryani. Because the people, no family life, they didn't have a good meal the whole week. So he should cook biryani for them. And he should charge 1 shilling. Currency was shilling pence, shillings and pounds in those days. So 1 shilling, and you can eat as much as you want to. So one person, what the name also he had? Ismail Amto. Amto means like a useless person. What word can you use? A person who is not worth anything, Amto. Ismail Amto. Ismail Amto came and he paid his 1 shilling and he ate 10 plates of biryani. So the owner came, gave him his shilling back again. He said, "Here's your shilling. I don't charge you today, but from today you never put your foot in my restaurant again." 10 plates, whether it's 1 shilling, whether it's 100 rand today or whatever, we can't pay for 1 drop of water. We can't pay for 1 grain of rice. Who is feeding us? And how much Allah is feeding us? And then again, it's not only biryani. Then there is achar. Then there is vegetable salad. Then there is how many other things on the... Can we imagine Allah? How is looking? This is, and when we realize this, now with an open heart you'll make Allah's ibadat. And when you make Allah's ibadat, you'll still feel guilty. I haven't fulfilled the rights of Allah. At the moment I think, you only make 1 namaz a week, I'm a very good Muslim. Then you'll make even 5 times namaz, plus 5, nafil namazes also. Still you'll feel guilty. I haven't fulfilled the rights of Allah. This is when that marifat will come. What the ibadat of Allah, that you must become an abi. And that was first I mentioned. Second is marifat. Third, that you become an abd, a slave of Allah. To give you an idea of what a slave is, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh bought a slave, brought the slave home, asked the slave, "What will you eat?" He said, "What choice has a slave got? Whatever the master gives him to eat, he will eat." A slave is not a servant. A slave, you own the slave. You don't pay the slave wages. The slave just works for you. You own the slave. And then where you want to sleep? What choice I got? Many things. Everything he said, what choice have I got? How my master keeps me? Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said the slave. Gave me money on top of it. And he told me, "You have taught me how to be a slave of Allah." That Allah who has created us, that owner of the slave. What is slavery? Perhaps it's not in the world today, so perhaps we don't understand. But you didn't in any case create that slave. You didn't make this. Allah made us. Hey, so how much wasn't we? Whatever Allah has decreed for us, open-heartedly. And when the sharh is sadar and you make Allah's ibadah, what enjoyment. If you got reservations in you, like one imam, he was doubtful the people are not going to pay him. That committee was famous, they don't pay the imams. So when he had this doubt, afterwards finally they weren't paying him, 3 months passed, he left. So they said, "Sorry, we couldn't pay you." He said, "Sorry, I made 3 months namaz without wuzu." Because he had a doubt they're going to pay him. He said, "You repeat your 3 months namaz." Because he had a doubt that they're not going to pay him. So he also, so if you haven't got sharh sadr, you don't make Allah's ibadat with that open heartedness, with that enjoyment. But when you got yaqeen and you got a full heart, and your heart, you understand who and what Allah will pay you, what Allah is going to give you, you'll make Allah's ibadat with an open heart and you'll enjoy that ibadat. The fourth meaning of making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala is that abdiyat must come to you. Humility, humbleness. If you are making Allah's ibadat and pride comes in you, you are also destroyed. With all your tahajjud, with all your mujahada, with all your knowledge and pride came into you, you have destroyed abdiyat. Ibadat of Allah must bring abdiyat, humility, humbleness in a person. A person, he's got a beard, sunnat beard, mashallah, that is what we are commanded. But with that, if he looks down upon a person who hasn't got a beard, he's doing wrong, he hasn't kept a beard. But you think you are better than him, you have fallen more lower than him in the eyes of Allah. So this is a person as they must never, pride must come. Holier than thou attitude. I'm better than you. Just because of whatever you are doing, you think you are better. Only Allah knows who is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. A poet says so beautifully, Naaze taqwa se phir achhi hai, niyaze rand. A person who's got taqwa, what a great quality. Taqwa is a very great quality. But that taqwa brought pride. That I don't commit any guna. Look at these people, what big sinners they are, how bad they are, etc. Naaze taqwa se phir achhi hai, niyaze randi. A woman who's selling her body. Oh, what a big guna she's making. But she's crying to Allah. For whatever, ya Allah, I'm helpless. I haven't got any income. Whatever, oh Allah, I'm such a great sinner. What big guna I'm committing. She's crying to Allah. She's more better than that person who has got taqwa, who doesn't commit one guna, but pride. That pride is such a guna that she is better than him. Naaze taqwa se phir achhi hai, niyaze randi. Jahe zohat se phir achhi hai meri ruswai. A person who's got zohat, the zahi. But that zohat also brought jah, proud. That I abstain from dunya. I'm not a dunya person. I just live a very simple life. And I hardly eat, hardly wear clothes. My house, one small little hut I got, I just live there. But that has brought pride in it. And another person committed big guna. But now he's crying to Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive me. How could I have committed? That person committing that guna, but now he's crying to Allah, he's better than this person who has got this jah in him. Jah is zohad se. The zohad he has got, which is a great quality. So this the ibadat must bring this humility into us. And then one last meaning of ibadat I will explain, that we are human beings, 24 hours in every day. In that 24 hours, we were at shop, at work, job, factory, wherever, 8 hours or so. We are sleeping about 8 hours. We are eating and drinking, going to the toilet, another 4 hours, 3, 4 hours going there. But just by niyyah, that all this I'm doing it for, it's Allah's command. To earn a halal, earning is Allah's command. I must earn, feed my family, look after my family. If I have extra, I'll give to the poor, needy, masjid, madrasa. 8 hours in your shop with the right niyat is ibadat. You converted your whole dunya into ibadat. You are sleeping 8 hours. You sleep according to sunnah. You make your niyat that I'm taking a rest. I'm human. I can't, it's not a machine that's just going to work all the time. Allah made it such a machine that you need your rest also. And when I get my rest, again I'll get up for fajr. Again I'll make my ibadat. I'll earn my living. Your 8 hours of sleep has become ibadat. So this is what is the soul. We are all sleeping, but no niyat when we go and sleep. We are all doing business, our factories, our jobs, whatever we are doing. We're just going like zombies. Hey, I have to go to work, I have to go to work. I have to come back from work, I must come back, it's time to eat, I must eat. No, niyat. By niyat, our whole 24 hours we can make into ibadah. This if we will stay with Ahlullah and Buzurgani Deen. Otherwise, if a person, for example, is teaching alim class, half his class, running a darul ulum, but your niyat is name and fame. All that is also going into dunya. And you'll get punished for that. You are making tahajjud, but you are doing it for name and fame. All that you will get punished. Eh? And on the other hand, all your dunya things you are doing, but with the correct intention, it all has become ibadah. That is how important it is. And this short life of ours that we have got, if we just make the correct intention. And we get that jazba, the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala, then see the value of our ibadah will increase. See, for example, a person becomes a school teacher, a material example. He went to matric, nowadays he has to perhaps have a bachelor's degree, I don't know, in order to do a teaching course. Anyway, the basics he has got. And his teaching is getting a salary. But he increases his knowledge now. He gets another degree also. He gets a master's degree. He does his doctorate, for example. Now he reaches a stage where he'll do less work. He's head of department.
And he's just sitting, he becomes an inspector. He's sitting in his office, air conditioned, just signing few papers, pushing this paper this side, that paper that side, and his salary has increased tenfold. He's doing less work, and his salary has increased tenfold. And he's in more in comfort also now. Exactly like that, ibadat of Allah we do. But so to say, we get degrees. Allah's ma'rifat, love of Allah, closeness to Allah. Even if you will do less ibadat, the faraz, wajib, sunnat, muakkada, there is no you compromise and you can't make that there. But not big ibadat you are doing, but you'll get such a big salary from Allah. The value of that, the quality of that ibadat will increase so tremendously, and you will be so close to Allah Ta'ala. So this is the object for what we have gathered here. We have all come together that we bring this inside qualities within us. We all look at outside quantity of ibadat, but inside quality we are lacking in that. And that is what we have to... So how much time for that? Let us spend time with who the Ahlullah are, the man of Allah Ta'ala are, and develop this inside qualities. Then see, our ibadat will become not easy, it will become lovable. And wallah, I say, to give up guna and sin, guna of the eyes, people say so hard to give up. People are addicted to porn today, and all the other filth and dirt. To give up that guna won't only be practical, won't only be easy, you'll enjoy giving up the guna. And Allah will make your life in this dunya, wallah, I say, a life of jannah. Your wife you have got, you are living with your wife, you are carrying on day to day. But when this love of Allah will come, then that love of the wife and that marriage life, it will be like you are living with a whore of jannah in this world. And you'll get that enjoyment. It won't be just you are passing days. And well, I'm married, I have to pass my days. No, you will get that enjoyment. One time in the Darul Uloom, there was a nikah taking place. It was a Sunday morning, Yawm al-Ahad. They asked me to give a little talk. So I spoke a little, and in that talk, this also came, that in namaz, in our salat, where we have to look, when you are standing at the place of sajda, when you are making ruku at your feet, when you are in sajda, you focus on your nose, when you are sitting in your lap, and when you make salam, on your shoulders you look. If a person will do this, this is a practicing ground. Then outside, it will become easy for you to look after your eyes. If you look after, and in the masjid, when you are making namaz, there's nobody with bikinis there, and nobody with minis there. To look after your eyes in namaz is very easy. Wherever the practice ground is, the conditions are made very easy. So you just practice this in namaz. And out of namaz, you will see by the barakat of that, your eyes will be under control. You kept them under control in namaz. A person whose namaz is made, his deen is made. A person whose deen is made, his dunya is made, his akhirat is made. So one aspect of namaz, which is mustahab, that you look at these places in which Allah will guard your gazes for you outside. I made this finish, it was over. After about 2 months, one person phoned me. And very good friend of mine, full in Jamaat work also, nice, quite old, weak, Allah give him good health. Amen. He told me that I had this disease of looking at other women. And therefore, I made second nikah. Because I felt I got too much lust looking at other women, I made second nikah, because he had fear of Allah. And he wanted something to protect himself, so he said, I made second nikah. But still, same thing. He said, I practice on this, what you told me, 2 months I practiced it now, 100% Allah has given me protection of my eyes. Now I don't look at other women. So the solutions are there. Many of us feel, I got a lot of lust in me. I'm destroyed. I can never, my life can never come right. I got too much woman in me. Too much, I got too much, I have to have woman. I can't stay. Yeah, there's a treatment for every. And also one important thing in short, let me say. Today, with all this new psychiatrist and all that, this one is bipolar, this one, all big, big names. And they say, and no solution. That because of this bimari, he's like this, and he does this, how he's going to... Every solution in the diagnosis of it is in the Quran, the solution, and simple, straightforward. But our problem is common sense is too common. We are not prepared to accept common sense. Until it's very sophisticated and very expensive, and you pay huge amounts, then only we are happy. But straightforward, simple, and wallah, whatever problem, a drug addict, an alcoholic addict, a person who's bipolar, a person, all funny names, they use all that, you just apply the teachings of the Quran. And simple, make the istighfar tawbah. That's our biggest problem. We are committing gunas left, right and center. No tawbah and istighfar. Allah says He will bring such diseases which you never heard of. Read Durood Sharif. Become regular on your five times namaz. And see all this big, big words. One close friend of mine, very good friend, his daughter, from the age of about 8, 9, 10, round about there, she became very ill. All big, big problems. What? Medicine. Rich man, he can afford it. 2,000 rand a month, all her medication. Afterwards, he told me, my darling, my daughter, you take Zamzam water, make dam on it, and you drink, give up all this medicine. Wallah, I tell you, for 6 months, she became perfect. When she went for her checkup, they asked her, what tablets you take? How you are so perfect, everything has come. The solution of everything, our iman and yaqeen, first of all, is not, we are Muslims, five times namaz is our iman yaqeen, it's not on Quran and Hadith. Our marriage problem, marriage counselor. This problem, go to a financial advisor. If a financial advisor could give you advice, he should be the richest man. Why is he giving you how to make you rich? He should become the richest man. What a stupid, they are making us fools and we falling for it. Like donkeys we are falling for it. So everything is in deen. Let that yaqeen, let it come into our heart. So for that, may Allah reward Maulana Nazir Sahib, Maulana Ismail Sahib, for giving us this opportunity to have this discussion. And the important thing is that we follow her. We bring this into our lives. Yeah, inshallah. Maulana Nazir, you have a majlis regularly. Yes, Maulana Nazir. You have? For the student, no. Now have it for all. When you have it? On Wednesday after Asr. All try and attend in the Darum in Azadwell. And in Azadwell we have the first weekend of every month. And mashallah, brothers, now we had our Islahi Jalsa. Brothers came for 3 days from Sri Lanka. From France they came. From Zambia they came. From Botswana they came. From Mozambique they came. For 3 days Jalsa. And the brothers from Sri Lanka, was one Maulana also, he wasn't getting his visa. Finally at the last moment he got. He said, if I wasn't getting it, after 2 weeks, now from now, after 1 week, we're having our monthly meeting. Say, I should have come for that monthly meeting. All the way from Sri Lanka. The brothers here locally from Stanga, from Komatipur, from Botswana, every majlis they come. So try and come. From here also, Maritzburg brothers come in big numbers, Escort brothers come in big numbers, all the brothers, Harrismuth, all come. So join the brothers and take part, inshallah, we will see great benefit. And try your best in Ramadan. We have a full proper program. Try and spend 40 days, 10 days before Ramzan, 30 days of Ramzan. 40 days try and spend, and wallah, you will see yourself. How many emails we get in this time of inequity and lawlessness and irreligiousness, but we get shocking emails. One girl, for example, 18, 19 year old, and what halat, what love of Allah, what enjoyment in her ibadah she's getting. One professor of a university, where the students come in there, what kind of dressing they come, but what is his halat? How he's connected with Allah Ta'ala. One young person who works in a laboratory, and he says the women folk who come, they even chant him many times. And how they are dressed also, but how he protects himself. In these days, it is possible. Turn to the correct sources. One friend who was a drug addict, but today, alhamdulillah, for how long now, he's completely cured. The solution is here in deen. Diagnose it in deen, give the solution in deen. It's not outside deen. If it was outside deen, Allah should have prescribed it. Allah prescribed all our problems in the Quran, in the Hadith. So turn to the right sources and see how Allah will make our life. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Some brothers wanted to become bay'at. We'll just do the bay'at quickly. And then we'll have namaz. And after namaz, a short program. Maulana Abdurrahman, you are awake or you are sleeping? Come. Who else wanted to become bay'at?
those brothers. And what is bayat? I'll explain that very briefly. Is sunnah to become bayat. And what is faraz is our reformation. Come sit here in front of us. And bayat is for reformation. So, just like a person has physical illnesses, you got heart problem, you got any other problem, diabetic you are, we have to take treatment. And to take treatment for our physical illnesses is not faraz. It is sunnah, 100% permissible, no problem, but it's not faraz. But spiritual diseases, it is faraz. We got anger in us. Our eyes are not under control. Fajr, we are not getting up. Losing our temper with our wife, with our children, etc. That treatment is faraz. And we got physical illness, you got sugar, you got high blood. When you die, it has come to an end. If you got anger, if you got pride, if you are doing things for name and fame, when you die, it doesn't come to an end. The problem starts now in the qabr. And you'll have to pay for that in the qabr. If Allah didn't make you maaf, you didn't ask for maaf, Allah didn't make you maaf, you'll have to pay for it. So this treatment is the most important. That is what is becoming. And bayat, when you become to a sheikh, it is, you are specifying him as my doctor. As we have a doctor, you go to doctor and doctor diagnoses you, prescribes for you. This is a spiritual doctor. One time in India, one murid and Khalifa of Bani Abrar Haqsar, rahmatullahi, was in a hospital in Bombay. So the doctors wanted him to sign, they wanted to operate on him. So they told him sign there. So he said, I will first make mashura, take the advice of my spiritual doctor. He said, who's that spiritual doctor? We are your doctors, we are treating you. Who is a spiritual doctor? So he said, gather all the doctors of the hospital, and I'll explain to you people who is a spiritual doctor. When they all came, he told them, see, you can take our blood all the time. This test, that test, how many tests all the time? Tell me, in all the tests, can you tell me how much of pride is in it? How much of shame and fame to do things for show is in it? How much of anger have I got in it? How much of all the spiritual... He said, that's a spiritual doctor who will show you that. And when your spiritual ailments are remedied, you yourself will feel so... Like a person got sugar, now he's remedied. He's got shifa from it. And by the way, for there are many people sitting here with sugar. One person saw in a dream that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, add some drops of rose water to your glass of water and drink it for sugar. And many people have reported, alhamdulillah, our sugar is gone. So it's a very simple remedy. Those who have got sugar, try it, inshallah. A prescription from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, so once your bimari is gone, your illness, you feel nice. When your spiritual illnesses will go, wallah, you can't explain what ecstasy you are living. Not only you will feel nice, you will live in a state of ecstasy. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. Allah is every split second in a different splendor. And when your contact will come with Allah, you'll be in a different splendor every second. No question of depression, of tension, of pressure. You'll be in a splendor all the time. May Allah grant us. Manazir, there was somebody else also?
Or any students want to make bi'ah to Shaykh, please come forward now. Any student of Darulum also, all the awam as well, take the opportunity, inshallah. Thank you.